Morning, church. Today I'll be looking at what kind of people we should be as we wait for the second coming. I told a story sometime during the course of the week of a pastoral elderly couple who they're from St. Louis. And you know that the Mississippi River runs there. They went back home just to reflect on some things that they used to do. Like this old dock that they used to go by fishing and playing. So they went by the dock and realized that it's no more in service. But they saw a little boy, about 12 years old, there with his suitcase waiting. And they went to him and asked him, "Why is it that you're standing here?" And he said, "I'm waiting for the boat." But they said to him, "But the boats, they don't come here anymore. This place is no more in service." He said that he's waiting for the boat. It was raining, and they offered him shelter with an umbrella. But he was still there waiting for the boat. And strangely, in the distance, they saw a boat coming towards where they were. The boat came, and it actually didn't stop. It was still moving when somebody grabbed the little boy and grabbed his suitcase, and he went on to the boat. And in a little way from where he was standing, he said, "I know the boat would come, because my dad is the captain." What kind of people we should be as we wait for the second coming. Let's bow our heads to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, your words are in your hands. Use them to your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 6. 11 to 14. What was the condition of the world before the flood? The earth also was what? Corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt and was filled with violence. He has extended his grace, his love, his mercy, but man has exploited this offer, and so God had to do something to put an end to this corruption. Man had no intention to change, no intention to repent. And no wonder Genesis chapter 6, 5, 7 say, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart was what? Evil continually." Oh, what a state we are in. And if God saw that then, what is he seeing now? Is our behavior in our present world different from in the times of Noah? Turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 17. We had it for our scripture reading. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. That what will happen? They did what? Shouldn't we eat? They drank, shouldn't we drink? They married wives, shouldn't we get married? They were given in marriage, and until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they did drink. They drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, what had happened? It rained fire and brimstone. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What a time in which we live. Somebody may ask, so what is wrong about us eating and drinking and marrying? The point is, we leave God and the things of God out of the picture and have an obsession for these things more than an obsession of preparing our lives to meet Jesus when he comes again. More time is spent on materialism, material acquisition, than on our own character development for heaven. Is Jesus coming again? From a human perspective, from all outward appearance, it seems impossible that my church will ever be like the Savior she claims to follow. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Apparently, when considering the behavior of many Christians, Chesterton was confronted with a contradiction of profession and practice. He was concerned about our dual lifestyle, a contradiction that we have with us until today. Many of us are saying we are ready and waiting for his coming. But our lifestyle is saying something else. Sometimes when I look at myself and my church, frail, weak human beings, it seems impossible that we're going to make it in our preparation of our lives for the second coming of Jesus. However, there's a quotation from Louis Schaeffer that gives me some amount of courage, and I hope you will get some strength from it too. It says, anyone can devise a plan by which God, good people, go to heaven, but only God can devise a plan whereby sinners, which are his enemies, can go to heaven. Thank God we serve a God who can handle impossibilities, and that he has a plan to save every one of us in his kingdom. Every member of the Andrews Church, God has a plan to save you and to save me. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in our church. A number of individuals believe, we don't believe this thing about the second coming. We don't believe it. For some, it's a myth. But look at 2 Peter 3, verse 8. You know, we're happy for the word of God. What do you say about that? God has been good to us. He has provided us with his word, and we are grateful to him. But behold what? Beloved what? Be not what? Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is what? Like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. Beloved, God's timing is different from our timing. Our God is a God that transcends time and thinks about eternity. This is something that postmodern man cannot understand. The things of God, they are spiritually discerned. Amen. No wonder we do all kind of things saying he's not coming again. We don't believe it and we don't live it, but he's coming again. My God is a God who is always faithful to his promises. Verse 9 of the same chapter says, the Lord is not what? Is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long suffering to us ward, that is not willing that any should perish, but every man, every woman should come to repentance and be prepared for the second coming of Jesus. The second coming of the Lord is going to catch a number of us. By surprise. A number of us will still be napping and praying, rather playing with our darling sin. 2 Peter 3:10 says, he will come. He will come as a thief in the night. When we least expect him to come, that is the time he is going to come. That is why we must be ready, and not only ready, but stay ready. And that day, the Bible says, it will not be business as usual. The heavens shall pass away with what? With a great noise. And that noise must be a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burnt up. It will be too late to change our lifestyle. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It is now that we need to change. Verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. The question is, what manner, what kind of person we should be? We should be what? Holy. Not only pastor must be holy. It's not only elders must be holy. But every one of us must be holy if we're going to make it to God's kingdom. You know, because sometimes we behave as if it's only the pastor must be holy. And only the elders must be holy. Church members must be holy too. Because are we going to make it if we are not holy? Holy, holy. That's what the angels cry, right? Yes, and we must be holy if we're going to tell the story. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation. Amen, brethren. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who called you out of what? Out of darkness into this marvelous light. Amen, brethren. We are privileged to be Seventh-day Adventists. Oh, thank God for taking me out of the darkness. What do you say about that? Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, and that is what we should be in this world of sin. Am I right? Abstaining from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Our lifestyle should be an example to those who are non-Christians, to those who do not know Christ. And if we are looking and preparing for the second return of our Lord, it cannot be business as usual. Amen? Everything about us should be different. The way we dress, the way we eat and drink. Do we do the alcohol and the caffeinated drinks? What do we do with them? Do we boogie down at the same party? How about our language, our colloquial expression? Are they the same as the world? Have you ever heard some of our Seventh-day Adventist young people speaking to their friends? Yo, dog. My young people, you are not dogs. You are royalty. You are not mongrels. You are pedigree. Amen. You are of royal stock, royal descent. And if you are looking for Jesus to come, you know, to take you to heaven, you have to do some changes. The change of the music on your phone. Your phones. Can somebody talk to me? The X-rated pictures on your phones. Am I talking to somebody? If your mothers and fathers who are here, if some of you see what is on your children's phone, you drop dead. Because you wouldn't believe it. If we are heaven bound, Jesus is soon to come, then we must behave as if we are kingdom bound young people and older ones. When will Jesus come? My friends, he will come when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people. Then and only then will he come to claim his own. This statement about the character of Jesus perfectly reproducing us is burdened with perfectionistic overtone. It sounds impossible, but it is nothing more than an expression of longing on the part of Christ to see his heart beating in our chest or in the chest of his children who are looking for his soon return. He is waiting, as does nature itself, for his glory to be fully revealed in you and in me. For many of us, he has been waiting for many years for us to give our lives fully to him. Until now, some of us have not fully surrendered our lives to him. We come to church, yes, and that's good. But we need to live what we preach so that the world will know that Jesus is soon to come. God is always 100% faithful to us. And yet, we are satisfied in giving him our half-hearted service. And if I were you, I would not want to keep him waiting any longer. I would want to surrender to him today. Time is running out. As I speak, there are signs of the second coming of Christ. staring us in the face. Crime, violence, economic collapse everywhere, earthquake, hurricanes, drought, natural disaster, illnesses and diseases that are baffling scientists to find a cure for them. The gospel, whether you know it or not, is being preached almost in every land. My friends, Jesus is soon to come. What kind of people ought we to be? Nowhere in the world is safe. Did you know that? Nowhere in the world is safe. The only place that is safe is in the arms of Jesus when you surrender your lives to Him. These signs and events that are taking place could be God's wake-up call for us to break up our folly grounds and get ready for His second return. My friends, it is not 9:30 in the morning. It is almost midnight. In this dark world of sin, are you ready for Jesus to come? And I want you to really think about that. Don't think about your neighbors if they are ready. Your friends if they are ready right now. And I'm not saying that that is not important. But I'm just asking you to reflect on your own life. What if Jesus should come now? And I know you are reasoning it out that He cannot come now because so and so and so. But I'm asking you, what if you should die now? Would it be well with your soul? The statement that Mrs. White made about the character of God to be perfectly reproduced in us before Jesus comes. How is that going to happen? Lord, help us. Our faith is weak. We're not ready, but we need to be ready. Lord, give us the strength we need to be ready and to be waiting and to help others to get ready. Remove from our lives the things that are unlike Thee. Oh Lord, the question was asked this morning, if Jesus should come today, how much money we would like to have in the bank? It would have been useless, am I right? And all that we spent all our times acquiring, many years some of us studying, many years acquiring piece of property there and here. But when Jesus comes, all of that is meaningless if you did not accept Jesus, if you did not fully commit your ways to Him. It's not going to be business as usual. Those who didn't accept Jesus will be running up and down, asking the mountains and the trees and the stuff around to fall on us and hide us from Him that sits on the throne. But those who have accepted Jesus, they will say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He has come to save His people." This morning, there may be individuals here who you're getting ready, but you're not quite ready. You have not surrendered your lives to the Lord fully. You have been ifing and waiting for 2012 to fully commit your lives to the Lord. Now is 2012. I want to invite you for a special prayer of commitment and a special prayer that the Lord will strengthen your heart as you seek to walk fully with him. Can I invite you to the altar for that special prayer? Yes, you want to surrender to him fully. You know that everything is not well with your soul, your life. You know it. And if you know it, don't fool yourself. Come and let's pray about it. I'm not going to be here long calling either. Because when that trumpet is given a certain sound, men will be running. And that time it will be too late to run to him. Now is the time when we need to come and surrender our lives and make sure that everything is fine. Right now is the time when we are to surrender to him. Maybe you have been half-hearted about your surrender. You are half-hearted about your service to him. And you want to give your life fully to him. You don't want anything to stop you from making it to the kingdom. Maybe there are some barriers now, but you need special strength to make it. There may be some challenges now, but you want to make it. God can give you that strength today. Are you coming? Yes, he will give you that strength. He will give you that strength. Are you coming? Coming for that strength. Coming for that power. That power. That overcoming power to live above sin. You're coming for that. We need that strength. I wouldn't want to miss heaven for anything. When you think about this sinful world, am I right? When you think about the pain, the suffering, the challenges that we face here, every day that we get up, there's a challenge. What is going to happen next? Will my family be the next family, the next victim of those who are destroying people? What will happen? I don't know. But I want to assure you that if we rest our lives in the hands of Jesus, we will have hope, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Yes, he will give you that strength to overcome the challenges that you're facing. And by God's grace, you and I will make it to the kingdom. Let's bow our heads to prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the fact that you're coming back. You're coming back to put an end to sin and sinners. But you have gone to prepare a place for us. And we know that because you have gone to prepare a place for us, you will come back for us to take us to that place. In the meantime, Lord, we have a whole lot of challenges here on earth, difficulties. Challenges that we need your strength to help us to overcome them. The sin problem, we ask your Lord to help us by your grace to get rid of that darling sin. Give us the strength, O God, to live for you, to be a witness for you, to be an example for you at the workplace, in our community, and wherever we go. Make our hearts ready, Lord, to meet you in peace, because death can come at any time and there's no repentance in the grave. Lord, make us ready and stop getting ready. Because, Lord, when you come, we would like to hear the well done from your lips. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What a marvelous sound that will be to our ears, O God. Until then, keep us faithful and save us when you come, is our prayer. In Jesus' name.